Earlier this week, the UN Security Council finally approved the deal made with Iran, a 159-page document that must now be implemented and will lead to the lifting of Iran's sanctions.
The result of the voting is as follows. The draft resolution received 15 votes in favour. The draft resolution has been adopted unanimously as Resolution 2231, 2015.
That was the UN announcement sealing the deal last Monday. U.S. Ambassador to the UN Samantha Power once again summarized the main points of the deal that took 7 years to be written, fine-tuned, and finally approved.
The JCPOA will cut the number of Iran's centrifuges by two-thirds and prevent Iran from producing weapons-grade plutonium. Iran will also get rid of 98% of its stockpile of enriched uranium, going from a quantity that could produce approximately 10 nuclear weapons to a fraction of what is needed for a single nuclear weapon. The deal will quadruple Iran's breakout time, the time needed to produce enough weapons-grade uranium for one nuclear weapon, from the current estimate of 2 to 3 months to 1 year. It will also require Iran and all states to comply with legally binding restrictions on nuclear, conventional arms, and ballistic missile-related activities.
In Iran, the mood was positive, but not everybody was happy. A strong faction consisting of hardline politicians that have seats in parliament is opposing it, as well as the powerful military. I asked Sarah Bazabandi of Chatham House if Iran's internal opposition would be able to block the deal.
Various oppositions and various hardliner elements within the parliament have raised concern about the amount of concessions that the Iranian team have made. One of the issues that time and again has been raised was the pace of the sanction. But having said all of this, the support of the Supreme Leader is quite important for the deal. And he endorsed the deal and he congratulated and thanked the negotiating team right after the deal was announced. So I would not see major oppositions interrupting the implementation of the deal as long as the support of the Supreme Leader exists.
And what about the men in the street? How did people react when the deal was officially approved by the United Nations Security Council?
And was very much welcomed by generally by the population, and people were quite happy. And it brought a great deal of hope to the Iranian community after years of isolation, and especially since the past 6-7 years being under immense economic pressure. Now they have hope, and their psychological impact of the deal has been great.
What then concretely do they think will change in their lives?
Trade is going to accelerate growth, going to help the inflation to be reduced. The domestic currency has been extremely weakened, and people's purchasing power and standard of living has been heavily affected as a result of that. So, of course, none of these is going to be reversed immediately or in the short term. It all requires a time after the implementation and the lift of sanctions. And in the long run, of course, there is a great deal of expectations that the economic condition in terms of employment, inflation, growth is going to be improved.
But the deal is far from done. The US Senate still has to vote, and lobbying is increasing. Observers think that if the Senate rejects the deal, Iran's parliament will follow and do the same. And if it is up to Israel, that has been lobbying hard since the beginning of the negotiations to prevent any shadow of a deal, shelving the plans is the only option. Listen to an angry Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
But our concern, of course, is that the militant Islamic State of Iran is going to receive a sure path to nuclear weapons. Many of the restrictions that were supposed to prevent it from getting there will be lifted. And in addition, Iran will get a jackpot, a cash bonanza of hundreds of billions of dollars, which will enable it to continue to pursue its aggression and terror in the region and in the world. This is a bad mistake of historic proportions.
Grumbling all along in Israeli academic circles as well. Listen to Zeev Magen, Deputy Director of the Middle East Studies of Bar-Ilan University.
It's a victory for deceit. and trickery, and the Americans and Europeans have had the wool pulled over their eyes. They've been tricked by the Iranians, as they always have been. It's very, very easy to see. Just the simple, you know, if you imagine when Americans and Europeans go into Middle Eastern marketplaces and they bargain, they always lose.
But with only some issues to be removed before the deal will be implemented, other thorny issues remain, says Samantha Power.
This deal will in no way diminish the United States' outrage over the unjust detention of U.S. citizens by the government of Iran. Let me use this occasion to call once again on Iran to immediately release all unjustly detained Americans. Saeed Abedini, imprisoned for his religious beliefs, Amir Hekmati, falsely accused of espionage, and Jason Rezaian, a Washington Post correspondent who just a year ago was covering the nuclear negotiations. But denying Iran a nuclear weapon is important not in spite of these other destabilizing actions, but rather because of them. As President Obama pointed out, quote, that is precisely why we are taking this step, because an Iran armed with a nuclear weapon would be far more destabilizing and far more dangerous to our friends and to the world. So while this deal does not address many of our profound concerns, if implemented, it would make the world safer and more secure.
Critics, however, say that Washington will lose any leverage over Iran after the deal is ratified, and Tehran will be able to do what it wants, even if it concerns U.S. citizens. At the same time, long-term observers are sitting back with a sigh of relief that a war has been prevented. Imad Kaduri, a former nuclear scientist for Saddam Hussein, says Iran never had serious plans to really get the bomb.
After following the Iranian nuclear program for about 40 years, that is, I became convinced since about 2 years ago that Iran's nuclear program has been for peaceful purposes all along, and that they intended to enrich uranium so that they would have perhaps fuel for power stations that they would design, build, and operate themselves, and for research reactors. I couldn't see that they were intent on going for the military option, for the military bomb. I only became convinced of that about 2 years ago. Now, despite Israel's egging on and misinformation, it is clear, not only to me now, but to the P5 plus one nuclear experts and the IAEA, that this is indeed the case. What the agreement entails is that they closed any loophole that might be used by Iran in case they choose to go military option. But until now, over the past 25 years of the nuclear program of Iran, its goal was for peaceful use, and they have proved that.
And with that, we end this edition of Spotlight Asia. Don't forget to tune in same time next week. And from me, Jan van der Made, goodbye.